Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Welcome back to another Co-Opticast. This is Co-Opticast episode number 43 for Sunday, May the 16th, 2010. We're in a bit of a slow period for news, so this is going to be a quick episode, I think, but entertaining nonetheless. I'm joined tonight by Mike, as usual. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm very tired.
I feel ya. I'm going on 3 hours of sleep, basically, so...
Yeah, I had a very small amount of sleep. My wife had a very small amount of sleep, and it's just been a rough day with the baby. But
damn, baby's cramping our style.
I know, right? But I've been able to fit in a good deal of gaming, so you know it's been tough, but I've been able to keep up with things.
Yeah, what have you been playing?
I played through Alan Wake, and though I felt the last episode was rather weak, I enjoyed it, and I really look forward to the DLC, which they very obviously lead into with the ending.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was talking to Jason today, and I'm thinking that, despite them being different types of games, that whatever the next Silent Hill is, it's gonna really have to step up its game. If an action game can eke out it just as much atmosphere and a great setting like one of the Silent Hill games is famous for, they're going to really have to make it more playable.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because Jason and I agreed. It's like Alan Wake is like a very action-y Silent Hill Twin Peaks-y type game, and the one that's it's actually closer to the Silent Hill formula is Deadly Premonition, and that game is awesome. So, anyway, aside from Alan Wake, I've been playing Splinter Cell Conviction. Really digging it. I'm at a part in the single player where if I get spotted, I lose. So I'm not very happy with that.
I think there's only one mission though that happens on.
Yeah, the single player. I'm pretty sure I'm on it.
Yeah.
I also, with a friend of mine, I started playing the co-op campaign, which is it's a hoot. I'm not really sure how cooperative it is, other than the fact that you can mark your partner's or you can execute your partner's marks. But it's really fun. That's a great game. I'm glad that the series is back on track to be good again, because what was the previous one called?
The previous one was Double Agent.
Yeah, Double Agent was not very good.
Yeah, I don't think I even finished Double Agent. I know I played it, but I don't think I finished it.
I got to the big part in Shanghai or whatever. That was like the big set piece of the game, and I just got bored.
Yeah.
Other than that, I played some Xenoclash Ultimate Edition and beat some skulls in. And it was fun.
Excellent. I've actually been playing quite a bit of FIFA World Cup 2010. For some reason, a review copy showed up. So I was like, okay, I haven't played a FIFA game in a couple years. And so I've been checking that out. I haven't even actually delved into the multiplayer portion of it. But the single player is pretty fun. Yeah, if you didn't hear, there was a little bit of vacuuming going on. Mike just has this obsessive compulsive disorder where everything needs to be really clean.
Right, that's exactly what was going on.
No. Yeah, so FIFA World Cup 2010 is, it's a soccer game, but I don't know, it's fun. It's got a lot of atmosphere to it. And they got this really cool thing to it where everybody that's playing it in the world, whatever team you are, and if you win a game, it registers on, like, a global leaderboard. And they're keeping, like, a global competition of, like, what countries have the most wins. So, USA, I don't even think it's in the top like six or seven. I can't remember off the top of my head who's number one right now, but it's kind of interesting. I also started Bioshock 2 this weekend. It was a game I had gotten right before we sold our house, so I never really got to play it, and I just kind of got the itch to play a shooter this weekend, so I fired that up and been checking that out. I'm really, really loving the use of music. It's a lot... Like, Bioshock 1 used music pretty well, but Bioshock 2 has used it extensively, you know, the period music from that time. I had a giant battle with a whole bunch of splicers to How Much Is That Doggy in the Window. It was a beautiful thing. I was chuckling to myself. There's splicers on fire everywhere screaming, and all the while you're protecting your little sister while she's harvesting Adam, and that music's playing. So it's good stuff so far.
So does it use music better than Alan Wake? Because Alan Wake did a really good job with what it had.
It's different how it uses it. You know, yeah, I agree. Alan Wake's music was phenomenal. Just, but like I said, like that example right there with How Much Is That Doggy in the Window is a nice set piece. There's a lot more, like, you'll find, like, record players and gramophones, like, laying around where it's just playing music, so there's a lot more of licensed stuff for Bioshock 2.
Yeah, I remember the original Bioshock. I got the edition that came with the soundtrack with the symphonic score, and It's, like, 10, 11 minutes long.
Yeah, there wasn't much to it, but yeah. There's already, just in the first, I think I'm maybe playing 2 hours, I probably have heard six or seven different tracks. So, and finally, I picked up Lost Planet 2 to start for our co-op night that's this week. I played through the first chapter solo. There's a lot of people playing co-op, but it's really goofy the way the co-op system works. Unfortunately, it's you know, the best way to describe it is it's very Japanese developed. and you know, the thing that gets it, it's like, okay, so there's a quick match option. Now, you would think with quick match, it would just find the one that's best suited to the game that you're trying to, you know, get into. But all it does is it just returns a list of games. And it doesn't, you know, and some of them you can't even join. Because basically you can't join a game where the progress is ahead of where you are. So I don't quite get that. So I just wanted to get through as much as I could, and then I figured I'd stop, and then for our co-op night, I'll pick up at chapter 2 for anybody that needs that. It's fun. It's fun though. It's a really pretty game. I mean, I think it uses the Resident Evil 5 engine, whatever that is.
It's the MT Framework engine.
Yeah. So it's very pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty looking. I haven't picked it up, but I've a lot of the reviews I've read of it so far have said that. The co-op is pretty much what the game is meant to be played in, so much so that if you do a single-player game, you still set up a multiplayer lobby and just restrict it to offline.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, there is no... It doesn't say, like, explicitly say single-player or multiplayer. It just says campaign.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, you can start a campaign game, and then you would just, if you don't want anybody to join, you would set private slots. I mean, it's not like how in Resident Evil 5 worked. It's the same thing. Where in Resident Evil 5, by default, it was open to everybody. They could just join. So it's similar in that respect.
I thought in Resident Evil 5 you could just say single player, though.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the same thing.
Huh.
All right, so let's move on to our little bit of news, and this news piece comes with good timing. Steam is now available on Mac, and with it, I think the count was 57 games were available at launch for Mac.
Yep.
The really cool thing, though, about this is any of the titles you purchased on PC that have a Mac version are available to download on the Mac, so you can play them on either or. So, for instance, I own the Civilization Collection, and that is available on PC and Mac, so I have it on both my PC and Mac at this point. So that's pretty slick.
You're missing the two most important games, though.
The only two co-op titles that there are?
Oh, no. Well, there's some co-op titles on there, but, you know, you get Portal for free if you don't own it already.
I was getting there.
Oh.
So, Yeah, Portal is free for everybody on Mac and PC. And if you didn't see, Valve put out a little teaser video for that, and they talk about Portal 2 and how it's a co-op experience and how you can use the free version of Portal to help find your future co-op buddy. And what else is...
Torchlight,
yes. That's $9.99 on sale right now, so you can snag that. And that's also PC and Mac, so you get it on one, you get it on both. Not bad for $10. Definitely a good value there.
And I gotta say, even though Torchlight isn't co-op, you know, pretty much everybody on staff loved that game.
Yeah.
And it's almost always on sale, and you can always get it. And apparently, Runic Games tweeted today that they just passed the 500,000 copies sold mark.
Yeah.
And that's really good, because they are a very small studio. They're like 15, 17 guys.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And like, a lot of their stuff is actually open source or special license stuff that's built on. So, like, I think they use the Ogre framework for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so only two co-op games. Guns of Icarus, which we actually had a review of when it was a browser-based title. So now they released it actually on PC and Mac.
Is it the same game, though? Or did they beef it up?
I believe so, because it used Unity to make the web version of it. And I don't know if you know what Unity is, but it's a cross-platform development tool. It actually works on iPhone as well as PC and Mac and stuff.
And it lets you play in browser, right?
Right, and it lets they have basically a built-in plugin that lets you play in browser. So that was how that worked. And then the other one was a game called Galcon Fusion. I looked at screenshots of it. It looks kind of like a twin-stick shooter, maybe, but a lot more chaotic. There was a lot of stuff going on in the videos and the screens I looked at. But those are the only two co-op games. What's interesting, though, is it looks like Valve has added co-op as a searchable filter, finally. It never used to be, like, games would be tagged co-op, but you could never actually, like, filter out, show me only the co-op titles. Now you can. And it works on both PC and Mac on the Steam store, on both the PC and Mac store on there. So we got a great list of all the co-op titles, according to Valve, that they sell on Steam.
We should compile that.
Yeah, it's definitely something we got to go and see if we missed anything. You know, and obviously we'll have to check to make sure that it actually is co-op and not, like, something else that's not co-op. Moving on. A popular PC game is probably not getting DLC that is co-op, and that's Battlefield Bad Company 2. And the reason for that is, according to the powers that be, they would have to basically take a 32-person server and make it a 4-person server, and they don't like that use of resources to do that. So the 360 and PS3 owners are getting DLC for Bad Company 2 called Onslaught. And it is on, I think it was 4 maps. These 4 maps were ones that are available in the multiplayer game already, but they're going to rejigger them for co-op.
I'm not really sure why they say they can't do that on PC. You'd think that would be the flexible version.
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't just do peer-to-peer, because that's what the console version is going to be, I would assume. But I don't know. They had their reason, and maybe the architecture on the PC version is just not capable of it.
I very sincerely doubt that.
Well, you don't know how they program the game. I mean, it could be two completely different code paths, and they never intended to have peer-to-peer networking in it. So it might be a significant overhaul to you know, backfill that into it. Because, I mean, you think about it, the PC is all dedicated to servers. And remember what happened when Infinity Ward said the PC version wasn't going to have dedicated servers for Modern Warfare 2? Who was the first company to come out saying, we have dedicated servers for Bad Company 2? And it was DICE. So, I mean, that was their bread and butter kind of a thing, so...
I'm just trying to think of whether they've done peer-to-peer before. Because I'm assuming this uses the same engine that they've been using for a long time.
I can't. What is it? Frostbite something is the name of their engine. I don't know. It might be the first big PC release to use this version of the engine.
Maybe. I still think that you could you could probably do it.
Oh yeah, it's just a matter of what they, you know, how they want to invest it. And it is a premium piece of DLC, and premium DLC on the PC
doesn't go over so well.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see numbers from like Borderlands, how all that DLC went. You know, I had actually looked at some of the our Steam group. I was looking at stats of people playing Borderlands, and there are quite a few people that did play General Knox and stuff like that. So maybe it did okay, and maybe they started to set a precedent. You know, if there's enough value to it, I think PC gamers will do it. But like map packs, they're never going to want to pay for them. PC gamers have never paid for that, and they're never going to want to pay for that.
So I'm thinking more of that. The PC crowd probably isn't clamoring for the co-op piece.
I would
say that probably the most competitive Bad Company 2 players are probably playing the PC one.
Agreed, yeah.
So they're right, probably just saying it's not worth their time.
Exactly, yeah. Moving on, Little Big Planet 2 has been officially announced. Though we don't know any co-op details of it, we do know the game got a major overhaul. And that major overhaul is different game types you can create. So, like, the first game, we saw some pretty incredible things being done, like some side-scrolling shooters and like Contra remakes and things like that. But they're all basically in the platforming universe. The new game will allow players to do things like puzzle games and a whole mess of stuff, racers and stuff like that. So it's going to be more of a, you know, not just a platforming game, but actually like a game creation studio. So yeah, the graphics got beefed up quite a bit. I don't know if you saw the new screenshots, Mike, but I thought it looked really, really nice now.
It does. It looks very good.
Like everything is like very, like, I want to reach out and touch it. Kind of a, you know, the textures are very real looking. So no other details on that, though. We expect to have a big showing of the game at E3 in a couple weeks. One game I wanted to highlight, speaking of kind of game creation and stuff, is a little Xbox Live indie title. It's called Murky Horizon, and it's a twin stick shooter, but it combines elements of tower defense. And it's really unique. I mean, it's not, obviously, like, you know, being an indie title, it's not, like, big budget, so the graphics aren't anything to write home about. But gameplay-wise, it's really fun. And it's a four-player co-op game. Basically, the way it works is every round is another hour in time. And as nighttime gets closer, more and more of the bad guys come, so you have to like defend your there's like a access to an underground city or something like that. So you're basically defending that from these lizards that are attacking. So you build like walls, and you can put in turrets, and you can assign special guns to the turrets. But when it gets dark, you actually have to go out and place flares near, like, choke points, so the turrets can see the guys coming through. So in co-op, you basically, you gotta have like one person that's like your flare runner to go out there and make sure the turrets are guarding the base and stuff. And it's pretty intense. And so check that out. It's only $1. There's a free demo, but I just wanted to highlight that because that was one of the better. I've been playing a lot of the indie games because I've been messing around with XNA and trying to get some inspiration and stuff, and I was really impressed with that. Moving on. Brink, which is going to be one of the big games, I think, this fall from Bethesda and Splash Damage, is going to offer... it's going to reward players for playing co-op. And how's it going to do this? Well, you pick a medic class. You know, sometimes medics, you get rewarded for healing somebody, but you kind of always like hide behind, you know, the things until you get called to duty or whatever, because you're not maybe the strongest of characters. So their idea is, as long as you're like within a radius of your team or whatever, there'll be like this kind of invisible radius, you'll be ticking up experience for everybody. So the game is going to reward anybody that's working together in a small tight group with bonus experience points. And experience is a big part of the game. as you customize your character and level them up and stuff like that.
That's cool and all, but I'm still... The more I'm reading about Brink's co-op, it seems that their definition of co-op is more of playing as a team. And I'm not sure, like...
Well, have you seen the videos and stuff? I mean, it's most definitely co-op. There's the objectives and stuff are crazy, and like it actually it'll depending on who's in your co-op group, the objectives it'll do for a mission are different. So like if you have a sniper in your team, it might give a mission objective to have the sniper go up to this area to cover people, right? Or you know, if you have a hacker or whatever it is, I'm just kind of throwing this out there, then the objective might be, well, this person can go disable this computer system to let the people in to go do this objective. So, I mean, it's very strongly objective-based. It's not, like, round-based team combat or anything like that.
Right, but is it, like, an objective-based multiplayer match rather than a campaign?
No, there's a campaign. Well, there's a definitive story and stuff.
Okay.
For both sides. There's two, and there's actually two campaigns. So there's campaigns for both sides. So, yeah, there's definitely, but the missions themselves are dynamic. So perhaps, you know, maybe we will see like reused maps and areas, but the missions in those areas change. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Finally, our last big piece of news is a game that comes out this week. Actually, Red Dead Redemption is getting co-op specific DLC. And even better than that, it's free. Rockstar said that the mission pack will have four missions in it for co-op players. It's actually only four-player co-op as opposed to the main game's kind of eight-player pseudo-co-op mode that it's going to have. So it's good that they're paying attention to it. We got to wait until June, though, until that's actually released.
Boo.
So until then, we'll just have to make do and see what the... You know what we can actually do in the co-op mode that's available to us. I know a lot of people got the game early, I guess, this weekend. A couple retailers must have broke street dates or something like that. and there's been a lot of people tweeting about some crazy things you can do in the game, like some really messed up things and stuff. And
no spoilers.
Yeah, I won't say anything, but, you know, some of the things I've seen people say, I've been like, what? So, let's just say that that PETA's not going to be happy with the game.
Oh, dear.
I predict day one PETA, you know, loud mouths.
What jerks.
So, moving on, since that's it for news, I thought we would delve into our forums, and you know, we get a lot of people posting to the forums and sometimes asking questions, and sometimes we see stuff pop up more than once, and I don't know if they're just having a problem with finding the answer or just don't look for it, but I thought maybe we could answer a few things that we see, as well as you know, any kind of news people point out. And the first thing I saw that caught my eye was someone had posted about a game called Enslaved, which is by the folks that
Ninja
made,
Theory.
Yeah, Heavenly Sword. And if you read anything about the game, they throw the term co-op around quite a bit. The problem is the game is not co-op at all. It's going to be kind of like Prince of Persia, the new Prince of Persia, the one that came out 2 years ago or so.
Right.
Where you have somebody with you the whole time, but you don't control them. And so that's how Enslaved is going to work. We had a few people that... They were pretty excited about it when they were linking this stuff, but I did get confirmation from the developer that there is no co-op in that whatsoever. So
and besides, if you played Heavenly Sword, you know that you might end up throwing hats or something
and steering it with your six-axis controller.
Oh my god! Ugh. The only time that was cool in that game was when you had the arrows and you'd stick some dude in the eye.
Yeah. Let's see what else we had. Someone had an interesting question for... They needed a headset for offline voice communication. And it's kind of an odd question to ask because basically what their reason was, you know, they're in a room with a lot of people and they're playing with headphones on already. And to hear each other talk, right, for co-op play, they're basically having to yell to each other, which doesn't work because, you know, they're trying not to disturb the people around them. And a lot of the games that they're playing might only be over Xbox Live or something like that. So they each have their own Xbox in this case, and they're playing each on their own TV, but they can't communicate. So they were looking for examples or suggestions for voice communication with that. Basically, the only one I know of, and it's only because I recently checked them out, are the Astro A30s or A40s. You basically only need their mix amp, actually, to do it. And with it, you can daisy chain the microphone channel between mix amps, and it would be a closed kind of environment that you could use to chat with.
And the mix amp on its own isn't terribly expensive. The cans are, I know that.
Yeah, I think the mix amp is $99.
That's better than $230 or $250 or whatever the combo is.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, you could do it with like you could Radio Shack it with a receiver, and maybe having two mics go in there and mix it in the receiver or something like that. Or you could use like a PC.
Or you could use a pair of iPhones on speaker.
I mean. But I guess to get it to work for their environment, it would have to be a dedicated device. So, pick up a pair of those mix amps. The nice thing about those too is, even though it doesn't, if you don't get the headphones with it, you do get Dolby Digital decoding and stuff. You can mix things like your MP3 player in. You can mix a whole bunch of different sources together, and you can have volume control of that with it. So. I thought that's a pretty interesting question that they asked. And then there was a question from a dad who likes to play games with his son, and he does that in local co-op split screen or shared screen, and they're big shooter fans, and he wanted to know some suggestions for other ones. They love Gears of War 1 and 2, Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, Modern Warfare, but they had rented games like Resident Evil 5, and actually, I think he had mentioned Army of Two, and it wasn't fast enough for him. So he wanted to know, what other games him and his son might enjoy. The only one I could think of really, I thought Rainbow Six Vegas was probably a good one.
I'd say Borderlands.
Yeah, that's another good one.
He said that they like a lot of running and gunning, and Borderlands is pretty fast paced, so.
Yeah, and actually another one that if he's looking for one for cheap, it's not that bad of a game, especially since it's like less than $10. And that's that Terminator game, the movie one.
Oh yeah,
for $10 for split screen play on that, I would totally think it's worth it. I played through it, and it's pretty intense. It's got some good moments and stuff to it. Let's see, we had some other forum member suggestions. Unreal Tournament 3. Was a suggestion. It's pseudo co-op. There's some objective co-op modes, but it's basically just bots. But it does have split screen on the console. And
I mean, Halo games. I don't think you mentioned that, but that might not be up their alley.
Yeah, you know what? I'm surprised he actually didn't mention the Halo games in this thing. But yeah, obviously Halo's another run and gun one, especially if you're just looking for some good co-op stuff in that. Pick up ODST and play Firefight. Lots of replayability there and some good fun with that, as well as the campaign mode. And I think that was all the questions I pulled, and I think that was all the stuff I had to cover. Is there anything that I might have missed or popped up on your radar, Mike?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's pretty light news week. I think probably next episode we'll have a lot of E3 rumors and confirmed E3 stuff. I did just post a story of all the confirmed co-op games that are going to be at E3. I think there's about 16 or 17 so far. But I'm sure that list will grow. I'm sure we're going to get a few announcements. And then once we get to the show, there'll be more announcements and stuff like that. So we'll see how that goes. That's E3 is the 14th through the 17th of June, so we're about exactly a month away from that. Let's look at the site and see what we've been covering. We had a few reviews. The Astro A30 headsets, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, we checked those out. Mike checked out Xenoclash Ultimate Edition for Xbox Live Arcade. I played through Serious Sam, The Second Encounter, HD, and Cap played through Kick-Ass on PSN, which was surprisingly not that bad of a game, which she wasn't the first person I heard say that, so that's good news. Features, we had a co-op classics. It was a really interesting article Mark put together. He called it the co-op classic that never was. And it had to do with very, very rare versions of Centipede and Missile Command that had co-op. I think the article said there's only like 20 cabinets of it ever made or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So check that out. We had a casual Friday for Star Wars, the Republic Heroes, blah, 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 long game title. I picked that up for Mark because he's had a rough couple weeks. And I was playing that with my 5-year-old nephew, so it was kind of an interesting thing. So check that out. What else we got here? Jason went and saw Skate 3 again. I think that was our second time heading out to Vancouver, and that game's out now. But he got a good preview of it, and he posted an interview as well as his hands-on time with it. And what's behind this window? We had co-op couples for gaming on a budget. And Kat posted it on the download called Ace Fox 360. She talked about Aces of the Galaxy and a couple of other things. Upcoming co-op releases, we have Attack of the Movies 3D on Wii and 360. Red Dead Redemption 360 and PS3 this week. Super Mario Galaxy hits the 23rd. And we have Sultaner X2 Final Prototype on PlayStation Network on the 25th. That's about it. If you're listening to us through iTunes, we ask that you leave us feedback, give us a few star ratings, tell us how awesome we are. And you can follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimus without the dash. Also, we don't really mention it, but if you have anything you want us to talk about on the show or anything like that, you can always send an email to tips@cooptimist.com and just mention the podcast in it and say what what question you have or anything like that. So yeah, nice, quick, concise, to the point.
Brevity is the soul of wit, as they say, so this is probably the funniest podcast ever.
So I am Nick, that is Mike. Thanks for listening.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome. And the doggy will have a good home. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. I read in the papers there are robbers with flashlights that shine in the dark. My love needs a doggy to protect him and scare them away with one bark. I don't want a bunny or a kitty. I don't want a parrot that talks. I don't want a bowl of little fishies. He can't take a goldfish for a walk. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. the window. I do hope that doggie's for sale.